We are so grateful for all that good rain. God is good, is He not? All the time, all the time, all the time. Wow, praise the Lord. Yeah, I was laying there in bed this morning listening to that beautiful rain thinking, wow, what something to really put you to sleep, you know, that smooth flow of that beautiful rain on the roof. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good to have all of you today. Praise the Lord as those of you that have been here regular know that we've been talking about the things in Proverbs chapter 1 and chapter 2. And can somebody name me one of the things God told us to ask for in Proverbs 1 and 2?
Wisdom.
Wisdom, that's the main one. He said wisdom, but understanding and knowledge and wisdom. But wisdom, I mean, it's amazing what wisdom does. This is amazing when you get a hold of the fact that this book is an owner's manual for life. And to think about how few people even read it, and they don't know what it says. And so we wonder, I mean, I've read Dr. Dodson's book years ago. I don't remember much about it, but why bad things happen to good people? And I'll tell you for sure, I know the answer to that. I mean, bad things happen to good people because we don't obey the owner's manual. That's just the way it is. It's that simple. In fact, I had I don't know what they call them, elders or deacons or whatever they are from the Gateway this last week. You know, Gateway's a huge church and over here in South Lake or whatever it is, somewhere down there. But he and I got to talking about Jenna and the story about how it happened. And he said, I guess I'm going to have to arm wrestle you over that because he said, I don't believe that. And I said, well, let me tell you, brother, it's true and I can confirm it from the Word of God. But it's difficult for people to believe that God has a side that will discipline you and in the process hurt you. And so to confirm to him that I was telling him the truth, I had to take him to 2 Samuel. We won't go there. I'll just tell you a little about it. But you can later read 2 Samuel chapter 12. But 2 Samuel chapter 12 talks about how the Lord struck David's child with sickness until it died. Is that what it says? Why did God strike David's child with sickness until it died? Because of the sin of David, right? That was very clear. So if God struck David's child with sickness and it died in 1 week because he committed adultery with a woman he wasn't married to, if God did that then and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, will he do those same things today? Yeah, so that's the thing. You know, we have to understand that God will do those things. And when you realize that this book is an owner's manual, it will absolutely put a reverent fear in you for God. And I mean, just think, if the Lord says that the marriage bed is undefiled, but the whoremonger or the homosexual and the adulterer, I will judge. Does that mean what it says?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely means what it says. I don't know if any of you, it broke my heart this last Tuesday. I don't know if any of you saw it or not. But on Tuesday in Gotham Hall in New York City, they had a Democratic fundraiser for the gay and lesbians. And Obama was the speaker. Did anybody see him speak?
No.
Nobody. I thought, wow, when I saw that, when I listened to that, it broke my heart to think that the President of the United States of America, I hate to say it, but he's a pervert, ladies and gentlemen. He stood right there and praised everything these people done, mocking the Word of God. And I thought, God, except for your grace, you know what I would do if I was God? I mean, y'all better be glad I'm not God. I guarantee I would have fried him. I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. But if nobody heard it, maybe I missed the hand. Did anybody hear it? Oh, you saw it, huh? Okay, yeah. But it's amazing You know, scriptures come back to my mind that when I return to the earth, will I find faith? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when I return. And I can remember when I was a young man, if you were a homosexual, you didn't tell nobody, because if you did, you got killed. Somebody would kill you. I mean, at least you got beat up. But today, it's rampant. You know, they're talking about it everywhere. It's on television. I mean, you can't turn on a TV program without hardly finding something between the gays and the lesbians. And I think, God, my heart breaks because the Word of God says those people, along with a lot of others he names in there, shall not inherit the kingdom of God and of Christ. So that means that there will be no homosexuals in heaven. So if they're not in heaven, where are they going to be? They're going to be in a lake of fire forever. But that's not only those people. It's everybody that does not make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. You know, you can be the best man on the block, the best woman on the block, but you're not a Christian, and you may live a life that looks successful. You may make money, you may raise your children and everything, but if you die and don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I can guarantee you, you will not like where you're going. And you will be sorry forever that you didn't listen to that guy that came and tried to tell you about Jesus. Well, that's why we do what we do, is it not? We talk to people about Jesus because we don't want nobody to die and go to hell, not even Obama. You know, I would love for Obama to come to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. As I looked at him, watched him make that presentation, I think it was only 10 or 15 minutes, but as I watched him make that speech, I just thought, wow, Lord, I could have been that guy. That could be me standing there. If God had chosen me, just like he did Judas, would you have wanted to have been Judas? No, I don't want to be him either. So I can stand before you today praising the Master that he selected me as one of his sons. I'm not one of his perverts. I'm one of his sons. And I'm going to get to go to heaven when I leave this place. And I'm going to spend eternity with him because I made my decision and he's already paid the price. So it's a done deal for me. And I hope and trust God that every one of you in this place, that there's not anybody here today that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, if there is, when the service is over, we will be here and we will have teams of people all over the place that can pray with you and talk with you and show you how you can become a born-again child of God. It's the easiest thing in the world. It's the easiest thing in the world. So, my heart was broken as I watched that, thinking, wow, the only president so far that I've ever seen in my lifetime that would openly talk about this and praise people for their gay marriages. But I saw that, you know, and he did it. I saw it with my own eyes, you know, and he was in Gotham Hall in New York City last Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, you know, so I thought, wow, who would have ever dreamed we would have lived to see a time such as this? How sad. This beautiful, awesome country that is falling away from our Lord and Savior. Well, don't be one of them. All I can say is don't be one of them. You know, whatever you do, stay on God's side, walk holy before him. Even if it comes to the point where we have not suffered in this country like other countries have. You know, there's other countries that the people are beat up on, that people, I read stories all the time where a little congregation like this, here we are serving Jesus, and a group of men walks in with guns and kills every man, woman, and child. That's happening all the time. And if you don't know it, you're not staying up on what's going on. But it is happening. And some of you have heard about those kind of things, haven't you? You know, but at least, you know, I go back, I remember the day that I had a trip. I used to be an airline pilot and I flew all over the world. I remember one time we went to Rome and we had to spend a night there in Rome. So I thought, I may never get to come back to Rome, ever. So while I'm here, I had just a few hours. I thought the next morning at daylight, I will be out here on the streets of Rome. I will be at the Colosseum. I'm going to see. So that morning, I was standing down in that Colosseum, and I was seeing a few rays of the sunlight come over the edge there as I'm in this place, and I literally could hear the screams of the little girls that were tied in the Colosseum, and the lions, and had been stripped naked for people to watch as the lions and tigers eat those children, eat them. And while people were praising things that this is, that happened to the Christians. That happened. And I thought to myself as I stood there with those rays of sunlight coming through those open portals of that Colosseum, I thought, Lord, I want to thank you that I've never had to suffer like that. I have lived in a country that still loves you and praise you. And back in that time, 40 years ago, we loved Jesus a whole lot more than we do today. We were a lot more Christians and better, but today we're getting further and further and further away from God. Don't let that be you. You know, praise Him and worship Him and thank Him for who you are and what you have. And don't grumble and complain about anything, but praise Him in all things, because we are so blessed in this country. We have no idea how long this is going to go on, but I guarantee you with what I see, when I see the President of the United States make a speech like that to the gay and lesbians and mock the Bible. You know, I mean, I don't know how long we got, but I can assure you, like I said, it's certainly a good thing I'm not God, because if I was God, I would have fried that whole bunch. I mean, y'all can tell I'm not where I need to be, right? I hate sin, but those people, I don't know what we could have done. Maybe we could have struck a few lightning bolts off over here to the side or something and just fried some hair in their nose or something. Something, you know, something to let them know, hey, I'm God and I ain't happy with what y'all are doing. Maybe I could have done that, reckon? I feel so sorry for people that don't know Jesus. Now then, in the book of Proverbs, as we've talked, we've seen some things, some wonderful things in Proverbs 1 and 2. And we're going to start out with Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to take the first 10 verses. First 10 verses, and NLT, we're going to use the NLT, and we're going to see, and it says, my child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. Now, like some of you said already, the things we learned in the last couple of weeks about Proverbs is get wisdom, get knowledge, get understanding, walk holy. Is that right? Yes. Now, we should never forget those kind of things. They really pay great dividends. Keep those commandments in your heart. Read the Word of God and study it. Verse 2. Verse 2 says, if you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Now, is that what everybody in the world is looking for? Is everybody looking for a long life? A healthy life? A peaceful life? A satisfying life? Is that what the world is looking for? Well, it's right here in the book. All we got to do is read it and do what it says. But how many people do you know that have not lived a life like this? People do you know that lived out of the walk with God? People that brought children into the world and never got married? People that hated everybody, nobody, never would do anything good for nobody, only about themselves. They could care less about you. And now then in their later lives, they're sick and they're depressed and their children won't even come to see them and won't help support them and nothing else. I know of people like that, don't you? You know whose responsibility it is to take care of you when you get old? Your children. And if you got children and your children won't even take care of you, that tells me you didn't love those children. You didn't show them nothing. You didn't talk to them about Jesus. And now then they could care less about you. They don't care if you're sick and afflicted. They don't care if you're dying and in pain. They could care less. Is that right? I mean, my mother and dad loved me and took care of me, and it didn't make any difference what happened. I was there to help them. I remember one time, my mother had a car. It was probably 15 years old, maybe 20 years old. It was a Chrysler, and she loved that car. But I went home one weekend and I said, Mom, how's everything going? She said, oh, well, she said, going pretty good, but says, I've had a little trouble with my car. I said, what happened? She said, well, I don't know. Dad worked on it. And so I said, okay. I said, is it running? She said, well, it runs, but it makes a little knock. I said, okay. Now, my dad was like 75, 77 years old. He's at least as old as I am, maybe a little older even at that time. But anyway, I went and asked him. I said, Dad, what's wrong? He said, well, your mother's car spun a bearing. I said, oh, it did. I said, so what'd you do? He said, well, I pulled the pan off of it. And he said, I filed the crankshaft and I put a new bearing in. He said, it's okay. I thought, that's why it's still knocking. So I said, I'll go home and get my truck and my trailer and I'll come back and I'll load it on the trailer and I'll take it home. So I came back. I told my mother that next week. I said, Mom, don't drive the car. I said, next weekend I'll come back and I'll bring my trailer. And I did. And I put that car on a trailer and I brought it home. I pulled that engine out of that thing. I went through that engine from top to bottom. I put everything in it it needed. My mom had always had a little bit of trouble with the air conditioning on her car because it had one of them automatic air deals on it, and some of those older ones wasn't real good. So, and I couldn't buy the parts I needed for it. So I went to a wrecking yard and found a Chrysler that year model that had manual air conditioning, and I changed everything on that car. I had to pull that entire dash out from under that thing. But it took me, I worked on that car every night for a whole week. But when I got through with that car was like a brand new one. That air conditioner worked perfect. And when I took that car back, my mother drove that car till she died. And guess how much I charged her to fix her car? Absolutely right. Not one single penny. I was grateful. I was her son. And it was my job to take care of my parents. And when you find a boy that won't take care of his parents, he wasn't loved by his parents. He wasn't taught anything. It was somebody that was, they lived for themselves and not for their children. But I didn't have that kind of parents. But you know, you can tell. People reap what they sow. Yes. Did God say that in his word? Yes, you're going to reap what you sow. If you do this, in other words, if you do all those things that God told us so far, you will live many years. Hey, I'm working on 76. At my next birthday, I'm going to be 76. And I want to have many, many more. I ain't nowhere close to ready to go home. Are you? Yeah. I want to do things for Jesus. You know, if you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. You know, up until now, in those 75 years that I've lived, I have had a blessed life. You know, I have had a blessed life. I've been able to bless so many people. I've helped people do lots of things. But in all of this, it has brought a satisfying life to me. You know, I have a nice little place to live. You know, it didn't cost much. I would like to say I built a beautiful home over there, that big two-story house over there. I built that by myself. It took me 5 years. My son helped me a little, but not much because he was young. But I built that house. Paid cash for it. Never had a note on that house. I'd saved all my life to build that house. And then after my wife got killed, my son was going to get married. So I told him, I said, well, you're going to need a place. And he and his wife, at the time they got married, they told me they were going to have 8 children when they got married. But they didn't. That didn't happen. One day I was over to his house and he said he was having a little trouble with them. And he only had 3, and of course they raised Caitlin too. And he said, Dad, would you like to take about 4 of these kids home with you for about 2 months? I said, oh, I said, I thought you and Maraca were going to have 8. He said, that's before we had 3. And he said, if my last one had been the first one, that would have only been 1. I said, oh, now that she's got a little older, she's a little sweetheart. And, you know, she comes, jumps up in my lap every time she comes over, hugs on Granddaddy. You know, I wouldn't take nothing for her. Y'all know what I mean, right? You're babies. But, you know, it's amazing if we will only do what God says. If you will do this, what we talked about, and walk in love, you will live many years and your lives will be satisfying. Now then, like I say, you show me somebody that does not have a satisfying life, I'll show you somebody has not met the requirements of this book. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're going to live a satisfying life. There was, when my mother told me her car was giving her trouble, when I went out and cranked it up, heard that little knock, I thought, I pull the engine out of this thing. I'm going to fix it. I ain't even going to try to fix it. Nobody but right. There was no way. I love taking my mother's car home, and I love tearing that car down and fixing, thinking, I'm going to fix this car. My mother's an older woman, but I'm going to fix this car that she's going to be able to go anywhere she wants to go, and everything's going to work perfect. And if she lives another 25 years, which she didn't, I said, if she lives that long, she'll have a nice car to go in, and it'll always take care of her. But I wanted to do that for my mother. I didn't grumble and complain about that. I wanted to help her because she was my mother. Do y'all understand where I'm coming from? I love to do things for my parents. And from living that kind of life and walking in love and doing what God says, I've had many days. I know a lot of friends of mine that was in high school with me that they've been gone a long time. You know, they didn't live 75 years. But I don't feel like God's through with me yet. I feel like I got many years left. But I have had that peaceful and loving and satisfying life. And that's what, that right there in that scripture, what we're looking at, that's what everybody in the world is looking for. Isn't it, Gracie? Everybody in the world is looking for that good, long life, satisfying life, peaceful life. That's what we're looking for. It's available to all of us, isn't it? Sure. Every one of us. Okay, let's see what verse 3 says. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. In other words, I think you ought to meditate on those, the kindness and loyalty. Judy, don't you love to be around people that are kind and loving? Yeah, you don't like to be around people that are bitter and always fussing and grumbling and complaining, right? You want people that are gentle and loving and kind and has good things to say. And I love to surround myself with Christian men and women. I don't like to be around people. If I go somewhere, that's why you won't ever find me in the bar. If I'm in the bar, I had to go in there to talk to somebody about Jesus. That's the only reason I went in there. You ain't going to find me in there for no other reason, I guarantee you. You know, I just don't go in those kind of places. Because as a rule in the bar, there's very few Christian men and women in there. You know, I mean, I know some of them say they are, but some of them may be very good ones. You know, some of them may be, but as a rule, that's not where you want to hang out as a Christian. Where should we want to hang out as Christians? At church. Can you think of a better place to hang out than the church, Jack? No. You get to talk to people about the Lord. You get to hear their testimonies of what they've done this week or who they prayed for. Isn't that a wonderful place to be? And they understand what you're talking about. Yeah. But never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck, like this tie. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. It wouldn't hurt if you meditated on those in the course of the day as you go along. Verse 4. Then you will find favor with both God and people or man. I love having favor with God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. That's the way I want to be remembered, as a man of integrity. A man that if I ever shook hands with Thurman Scrivener for anything, that's all it took. In fact, even better than that, I didn't have to even shake hands with him. He just said, it's done. It's done. If I got to shake hands with him, that's just another link in the belt. But he didn't even have to shake hands with you. If he said he's going to do something, it's a done deal. Is that the way you want to be remembered, Eric?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's the way I want to be remembered too. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. You know, it's taken me a long, long time, and I'm not really sure I'm there 100% yet. But I should never, and you should never do anything without seeking the Lord first. Is that right? I mean, I think you're going to go to the grocery store. You ought to ask God, Lord, which grocery store should I go to today? But you know, most of us don't do that, do we?
No.
And we've been going to this grocery store. I remember a young man one time telling me that he was out of money and he had a couple of children and he didn't have any, he just had just a little bit of money, not much, he had a little. A few dollars, and he was going to go down to the grocery store and try to buy something for them all to eat. And he went and got in his car, and when he got in there, the Lord told him, son, I want you to go down the street to the I'll just say Burris. I don't remember what the store, but I remember the Burris over here. It wasn't this store, but he told him, said, Lord, that's 3 blocks further down the street, and I only got a little bit of gas. Now, see, isn't it amazing how we argue with God? Why do we do that, Kim? Well, we all do that, don't we? Scott, have you ever argued with the Lord? Maybe unfortunately, you hope not much anyway, right? But we are like that. You know, when God tells us to do something, you know, we don't listen. And so anyway, he said, but Lord, and he said, the Lord told him again, go to this grocery store. And so he did. He said, okay, Lord, that's 3 blocks or what, further down the street. And I got very limited gas, but okay, I'll go down there. And he said, I got down there. When I got there, the Lord said, now go back to the meat market. So he said, Lord, I don't think I can afford meat. You know, I mean, but he said, okay, I'll go. So he said, I went back to the meat market. And they had, I forget how many bags of chicken they had there that was one day out of the ability to use it in the grocery. You know how they do that? You know, they got a date, one day. Still ain't nothing wrong with that meat. It was one day past the date, and it had several bags and had all of them marked down to just like a quarter a bag or something. Almost nothing. So for like $3 or $4 is all he had, he bought enough meat, that chicken, to take home for them to cook, for them, him and his two kids to eat on all week long. Now you see, now if you pray and ask the Lord, and he did that day, Lord, where do I need to go to buy food for my family? And the Lord told him, go down the street to so-and-so grocery store. And that's when he started arguing with God. You know, and when we ask God and he ain't tell, you know, I know how we are. We don't really think God's as smart as we are. Is that right? That sounds like it, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Anytime I argue with God, and I've done way too much of that in my life, and I'm sure all of you have done that, something like that too. Because I was talking to another man this week, and as we were talking, he told me about a time when the Lord spoke to him and told him to do something, and he said, Lord, I don't have the time. I don't want to do that. And so he said, I want to do this. And he told the Lord what he wanted to do. So the Lord says, okay, you can do that. So he let him off. And he did this, and he done whatever the Lord told him, or whatever he told the Lord he wanted to be. Actually, he did want to be an airplane pilot. And he didn't want to do what the Lord called him to be. He wanted to be an airplane pilot. And so the Lord let him be the airplane pilot. And then years later, after he got retired from flying airplanes, the Lord came to him and told him he wanted him to do this job again. And he said, Lord, I don't have time. I can't do that. And the Lord says, okay, I know how to give you the time. And when he told me that, I knew with what I know about God's word, I knew God was fixing to discipline that man with sickness and pain. I just knew it. And then he told me, he said, within a matter of weeks, I started having problems with my chest. I went in and said I had to have an immediate quadruple bypass surgery. He said, let me tell you, I was down for a long time. He said, then when I was laying there on the bed, the Lord says, now have you got time? Now have you got time? Now, I don't want to go there. I'd much rather say, well, I'm healthy. Lord, whatever you tell me to do, if you want me, you tell me to do backflip right here, I'll do them. I may bump my head, but if you tell me to do backflip right in front of all these people and make a fool out of myself, if you tell me, I will do it. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? Because I don't want to be sick, Eric. I don't want to be disciplined by the master. I know what he can do. I've seen it. And I knew when that man told me what he did. I mean, before he spoke it out of his mouth, it was just like somebody just hit me in the face. You're fixing to tell me you had some kind of a massive, and man, when he said I had to have quadruple bypass, I thought, that ain't no fun at all. No fun at all. This guy's several years younger than me right now. And I praise God I've never had to have an open heart surgery, and I pray that I never will have. I pray and believe God that I'm going to obey him, and I don't care what he tells me to do. I remember one time years ago when he told me to go do my paperwork. Now, this has been a long time ago. And I said, Lord, I just like 15 minutes under here, then I'll go do the paperwork. And he said, no, son, I want you to go do it right now. I listened, and I crawled out from under there and stood up and took the second step. And the 20,000 pounds of steel I was under, in two steps after I walked out from under it, the supporting structure holding it exploded, and 20,000 pounds of steel was laying flat on the ground where I was 5 seconds before. Wow. Now then, what if I had not obeyed God? I wouldn't be here today, I guarantee. Oh, well, yeah, I know, 20,000 pounds, I could hold that up with one hand, yeah. Yeah, sure. No, the Lord knew I couldn't hold up 200 pounds, much less 20,000 pounds. But that's what hit the ground. So does it pay good dividends to obey the Master? When he tells us to do something, just do it. Don't argue with him. Now, I'm preaching to myself too here now. He may be more so than I'm preaching to y'all. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. If it doesn't make any sense to you, but he tells you to do something, do what he says and forget about what you're trying to figure out. Let him be the boss. 6 and 6. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Seek his will in how many things? Everything we do, we should ask God. And that's why I said a while ago about I don't care if you're man or woman, if you're going to go to the grocery store, you should ask the Lord, where should I go to buy groceries? You should let him tell you, because he may send you to the same grocery store for 6 months. And then all of a sudden you say, Lord, where do I need to go buy groceries today? And you're thinking, why should I ask him? I've been going to the same place for 6 months or maybe 6 years. And all of a sudden he says, today I want you to go to certain place. Now, he's never said anything other than you've been going here all this time. But today he's got a special for you and you don't know it. Now then, most people are just like that guy that went to the seminar about how to hear God's voice. And on the way home, he's saying, Lord, I would love to hear you speak. Now, of course, if you've heard him speak as many times as I have, this is not an issue. I mean, I've heard God speak to me audibly so many times, I know he talks. And probably many of you in this room have heard that audible voice. I know I see several of you shaking your hands now. Yes, you've heard that. But this guy had never heard it, so he went to a seminar on how to hear the voice of God. So on the way home, he said, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to be used of you for your glory. And so all of a sudden he hears this voice. We'll stop by the grocery store and get a gallon of milk. What? I don't need no milk. I know I got a half a gallon at home. I don't need any milk. Now see, does that sound just like us? I'm sitting here praying, God, please, I want to be used of you for your glory. I want to see something wonderful. I want to hear your voice. And he says, okay, stop by the grocery store and get a gallon of milk. It don't make no sense at all, does it? Now, if he'd have said something awesome, like the king said, the little servant said, Master, if that prophet had told you to go down and win a city, you'd have went down there and whooped him to get healed. But he told you to go to the Jordan River and dip 7 times. And you said, in that old muddy river, how dare that stupid prophet? But the little guy said, Sir, please, will you just do what the prophet said? Okay. Oh, the Jordan. My gosh, why couldn't I got one of the rivers in Syria? At least they're clean. This thing's dirty. He said, but Master, okay. So he gets down and dunk comes up once. He said, see, nothing happened. But sir, he said 7 times, not 1 time. So they push him down again. Come 3 times, 4 times, 5. He said, look, 6 times, and I've got this leprosy. See, sir, he said 7. Okay, he goes down, and when he comes up this time, my goodness gracious, he's clean and pure and white as snow. Now, is that something? Amen. Now, if God tells you to do something, do we need to argue with the Master? Even if it don't make no sense to us, lean not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. Because if he tells you to do something, he's testing you to see if you're going to obey. And if you obey, did he pay good dividends for the king? Yeah, the 7th time he come up, was there any sickness left on his body? We've read that story, haven't we? He was clean, but did he argue all the way through it? Yeah, he sure did. This don't make no sense to me. I mean, my goodness, why would God have me to dip in this old dirty Jordan River? I mean, if he had said, at least go back home and dip in the good, clean streams of Syria, I'd have been okay with that, but not this dirty river. Oh, my goodness, what we do. It's a wonder God does anything for us. But anyway, as the man was wanting to hear God's voice, and he said, stop by the grocery store and get a gallon of milk, he drove by the grocery store. And then he got down there, and finally the Lord told him, said, son, I told you to get a gallon of milk. Okay, so he turns around and goes back up to the grocery store and goes in and gets a gallon of milk. Fussing, grumbling the whole way. Comes out, gets it, sitting in a seat, and he said, I know I don't need any milk. But anyway, nevertheless, as he gets in his truck, starts down the road, and the Lord says, now turn right at the next road. He says, turn right? He said, Lord, I don't know nobody lives down that road. Does this sound just like us? Grumbling and arguing with the master and the master? So he finally turns right and goes down the road. He said, now, Lord, what am I supposed to do? He said, go to apartment number 12 on the right up there. So he pulls up there and he says, I don't know anybody in apartment number 12. So he goes to the door, and as he goes to the door, he knocks on the door. And the minute he knocks on the door, whatever number it was, he saw the light come on, and this guy said, what do you want? And it scared him. He said, oh, my gosh, the guy's going to kill me. And the guy come running to the door and jerked the door open. He said, how can I help you? He said, sir, I know you're going to think I'm crazy. He said, I'm sorry, but said, I know you ain't going to believe this, but said, do you need some milk? He said, do we need milk? He said, I am completely out of money. We've been in, my wife and I have been in there praying, God, please send milk. We got a brand new baby. We don't have nothing for it to drink, and we're praying, please send us some milk. And do we need milk? Yes, we need milk. And so he handed him the milk. He went in, the mother fixed a bottle and started feeding the baby and everything. And then he said, well, I've only got $20, but I'll give that to you too if you're totally out of money. So he gave him his $20 and he drove off, and he's thanking the Lord that he finally listened and did what he said. Now then, you know, when God told, in other words, I will have to say, I heard a person told me a story a long time ago, another deal similar to this. This person came to work at a convenience store like thing, and he was all depressed, and he really wanted to kill himself. He said, Lord, I don't believe you're really real. I've never heard your voice. I just don't believe you're real. He said, if you'll have somebody come in today and stand on their head in front of that Coke machine, I'll know you're real. But he said, otherwise, if somebody don't come in today and stand on their head in front of that Coke machine, this afternoon when I leave, I'm going to blow my head off and kill myself. So this girl is driving down the road in her car, and the Lord says, go to that convenience store over there and go into the front of the Coke machine and stand on your head. She said, Lord, that's the craziest thing I ever heard anybody say in my life. She said, I will not do that. He said, but you've been asking me to use you. Well, yes, okay, that's what I want you to do. Go to the grocery store or to the convenience store and go over in front of the Coke machine and stand on your head. This girl finally yielded, and she said, Lord, this has got to be the craziest. I never dreamed you would even think about using me like this. Now, I don't have any idea. Now, do we need to lean on our own understanding? No, because it don't make no sense. But God knows what he's doing. So if he tells you to do something, you do what he says. So she finally goes there, and she gets over there, and she gets down on the floor and kneels down in front of this thing and starts kicking her feet up, trying to stand up on her head. And this guy comes over and says, what in the world are you doing? She said, well, I know they ain't going to use to tell you because you ain't going to believe me. But I was driving down the road, and the Lord told me to pull in here to this convenience store and go over in front of this Coke machine and stand on my head. He said, woman, are you kidding me? She said, no, I knew you wouldn't believe me. I know it don't make no sense. He said, ma'am, I told God this morning, if he's really real, I have to have him send somebody today and stand on their head in front of that Coke machine, or I'm going to kill myself this afternoon. And he said, you tell me God spoke to you and told you to come here and stand here? She said, yes. He said, oh, my God, he is real after all. You know what the chances of... But do you know there's people out there in those conditions that they need to hear from the living God? And they've never had the experiences like we've had in this church. I mean, they've never had the word proclaimed to them day and week in and day out. They've never read the word like some of you have read the word. They've never seen the healings and the miracles. They've never heard God speak to them like some of you have. You know that in this little church, we are a blessed bunch of people. Amen. Do you all know that? Yes. I mean, we are blessed beyond measure. But you know, if I'd ask Jack, if I said, Jack, do you believe God healed? Amen. He didn't have to think about it, did he? I mean, but almost everybody in here, if I ask you that, you know he's the Savior, because he's your Savior. You know he's the Redeemer, like Dave said. You know he's the Deliverer. You know he's the Healer. You know he's everything, because you've seen him do these awesome things on a regular basis among us. And then we have people all the time come up and give their testimonies about how awesome he is. But everybody has not had that privilege. There is multitudes of people out there that have never, ever read this book, not even one time. So they have no idea who God is. But he said, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Just like the girl with the Coke machine. Well, how would you have responded? Jenna, what would you have done if God told you to go stand on your head in front of the Coke machine? What would you do, girl? You don't know, huh?
I would like to think that I would do it.
Okay, I would like to think that you would too. But you see, even us, there's things God would tell us to do, we might think, he's crazy. But he's not crazy, is he?
No.
God never does anything without a reason, does he? I mean, so if he tells you to do something, just do what he says. And it will make your life wonderful, and who knows who else life you may bless. But that man has saved his life that day, because that woman did, but she did it reluctantly. Verse 7, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Well, in that case, don't talk to anybody under 30 years of age. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Because I tell you what, when I was 20 years old, if you wanted to know who the best mechanic in town was, you didn't have to be around me long. I'd let you know, ain't nobody better than me. I was a stupid kid, you know. But I knew absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was the smartest guy in town. You bring your Chevrolet up down to the Chevrolet house, if nobody else in the world could fit, you bring it to me, I guarantee I could fix it. And I usually did. And because I did, I was steeped on my own wisdom. Like I said, you didn't have to ask me if I was the best mechanic in town. I'd meet you and say, hi, you don't know who the best mechanic in town is? Hey, you're shaking his head. That's kind of the way you guys, some of y'all were just like me, is that right? When you were 25 and 30 years old, you thought you knew more than anybody about everything. Have we all been there? Oh, sure, of course we have. You know, we've done those crazy things because we're human beings. But don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, now then, in my later life, I'm not impressed at all with my wisdom, but I sure am impressed with his. And I sure give him the glory for everything he does. And I know that nothing is impossible with God. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Well, let's see what it says after verse 7 says that. It says, after we turn away from evil, then you will have, what?
Healing.
You'll have healing for your body and strength for your bones. So let's think about that a minute. What if I don't turn away from this wisdom? You know, what if I don't do it God's way? Then what's going to happen to my body? It's going to get sick, isn't it? But if I obey him and do what he says, he said that if I turn away from evil, what if I don't turn away from evil? What if I run around with the guys and drink beer with them and go out and run around with the wild girls and do all kinds of crazy stuff? What's going to happen to me? I'm probably going to die early, right? And then more than likely, I'll get to go to this wonderful place that's got the fire burning all the time. Poor Cheryl hates it when I read that part where it says, and the worm dieth not. She says, oh my goodness, I can't stand that where the worms are crawling in and out. That don't even sound good, does it, honey? It sounds terrible, but if God said it's there, that place is there. You don't want to go there. Then you will have healing for your body. If you turn away from evil and do good, you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Now, learning these principles, I remember the day this little young lady come down here and she had all kinds of problems with her body. I mean, she had diarrhea, she had stomach cramps, I don't know what all. She had all kinds of problems. And when she came down here, standing right here, I asked her, I said, young lady, are you a Christian? And she said, absolutely, I'm a Christian. I said, okay. I said, do you go to church? She said, yes, most of the time. I said, well, how come you come to my church? She said, because my mother and dad asked me to come out here. I said, okay. I said, are you married? She says, no. I said, do you have a boyfriend? She said, yes. I said, are you living with him? She said, yes. I said, do you know that's wrong? She said, what's wrong with it? I said, you're having sex with him, aren't you? And she said, oh, yeah. And I said, that's just part of it. I said, do you know that's sin? I said, do you not know that God says he will judge you for that? I said, do you not know that all these sicknesses and things that you got on your body is because of your sin? She said, I don't believe that. God would never do that to me. I said, let me tell you, he will do that to you. In fact, I said, let me make you a guarantee, young lady. If you will repent and promise God you'll never sleep with another man you ain't married to, if you'll go home and tell that boy, Buster, it's over. You want to crawl in that bed with me again? You're going to put a ring on my finger first, and you're going to say your vows. You're going to accept me as your bride forever. If you don't want to do that, then hit the road. She went home, told him that, and he hit the road. He said, I don't want to get married. I just want to live with you. Isn't that amazing? So he left. I told her, I said, if you will make God the promise, I guarantee all these sickness and disease in your body will go away. And she looked at me and she said, you know, you really can't guarantee that. I said, I can. God made me the promise in his word. I said, you repent and go home and keep yourself clean and pure. 2 weeks later, the girl come back. Some of you might have been here. You were here, weren't you? You were here. You saw her testimony. She come up here and she said, when I first heard this guy teach, she said, I hated him. I couldn't stand him. I thought he's telling me a lie. But she said, I finally came up and let him pray with me, and I repented and did what he said. And she said, before I got home that day, I had no more stomach cramps. I had no more diarrheas. I had no more problems with my body. She said, in the last 2 weeks, I've not had any bad feelings of no kind. I feel perfect. And she said, now, Pastor, I want to tell you that I will love you forever. And she made give that testimony right here, did she not? She said, and so of course, since then, that little girl, I told Cheryl and I both, she said, I do want a godly husband. I do want to be married. I said, okay, no problem. We'll ask God to send you that one. So Cheryl and I agreed in prayer with her, and within just a month or two, God brought her a handsome young man. He's a good looking guy. And beautiful boy, you know, I mean, you know, strong muscles and really a great looking young man. And they started going together. They fell in love with each other. They got married. And to tell you how long this takes, I have completely forgot. They already have now two beautiful children, hadn't they? Yeah. They come out, still come out every once in a while, and they have two beautiful children. So I guess it's been 3 or 4 years ago at least. It seems like yesterday when all this happened. But it's so amazing that here she is now totally happy, got a good life. She's obeying the master, doing what he said. He forgave her, cleaned her up. And that couple is healthy and happy, and their children are healthy and happy, and everything's being blessed in their life because they're doing what God says. Then after you get away from all evil, then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. So if you don't get rid of evil, then you're not going to get healing for your body. So that's how I could guarantee the young lady, if she quit her sin of fornication, that God would forgive her and then he would heal her body, because the Lord said that right there, didn't he? Okay, so verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Yeah, okay, you produce. Let me read one more verse. Let me read verse 10 to go with that. If you do that, honor him with the first fruits of everything you have, then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Now then, I hate to say this, but I have been in church all of my life. And I can remember when I used to be in the Baptist church, I was on the counting committee. I was on the deacon board. I done everything, served in every office, Sunday school teacher. I did everything. And in all those churches I've been in all my life, I have never yet to this day run into a church where everybody in the church does this. I ain't never seen one. Never. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God commands us to tithe 10% of our money to his church? Wherever you go to church. I mean, it's a done deal according to God, isn't it? And we're going to read out of Malachi 3. We're going to go there in just a minute. In Malachi 3, verses 7 through 18, I think it is, the end of the chapter. But we're going to see what God promises to do to us or for us if we meet this criteria. Now, then, obviously the church doesn't know this. Because here's what happens. We can have a job that pays $500 a week, and we can give $50 of it to the Lord without a major issue. So we're tithing. But one day you come along here, and let's say that something happens, and your father leaves you an inheritance worth $500,000. And, you know, that could happen. $500,000. Okay, now you were able to compute $500 to $50 a week, and it's 50 off of 500. Is that a tithe? Yes, that's a tithe. That's 10%. And you didn't really have a major problem giving God $50. But now then, he's blessed you with 500 because you've been faithful. He's now blessed you with your dad's inheritance that your dad worked all these years for to build it. And he's produced it, and he was very successful, and he's left you now. He deceased and went home to be with the Lord, and he left you $500,000. And when you look at that $500,000, you think, what am I going to do with this $500,000? I got this in my bank. And do you know, the average person will never even dream that they got to give 10% of that to the Lord. I mean, most people, $500,000? What would 10% of $500,000 be? $50,000 I'm going to give to the church? No, I can't do that. Lord, there's got to be something wrong with this. What I could do with $50,000, I could buy myself a brand new car and a brand new pickup. No, I ain't giving that to the Lord. No. I can't do that. So you don't. And I've seen this over and over and over, ladies and gentlemen. I can tell you for a fact, I've seen this happen. How people can tithe off of a little, but when it comes to a lot, they think, uh-oh, can't do that. Can't do it. And then I have never seen this fail from 1 to 5 years. That family that kept the $500,000 is completely broke. And maybe even into debt. But they were able to make it when they were only making $500 a week. But all of a sudden they went into $500,000. Now then, if they had not even hesitated and said, okay, $500,000, that $50,000, that belongs to the Lord, let me write a check, $50,000 to the Lord. Then guess what's going to happen? It's going to multiply. That's exactly right. In a few years, they're not only going to not be broke, they're going to be worth more than the $500,000. They're going to take that money, it's going to go, and it's going to expand. Now let's see what Malachi 3, 7 through 18 has to say about this. Then we'll come back to verse 11 after we talk. Because right there in where we read about this, let's go back to verse 9. Let's read verse 9 and 10 one more time. Verse 9 in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. And it says, Proverbs 3, 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Now then, you see how he tells us what to do and what he's going to do if we do what he tells us to do. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So he said, if we honor him with everything, so I get a $500,000 inheritance. And I freely give. I don't crumble and complain about this, because I was talking to Brother Ted, and he and I were talking about this a while ago. And he said, you know, Thurman, you know, if somebody grumbles and complains, they might as well not give. I said, that's absolutely right. God said he loves a cheerful giver. You know, so if you're going to say, oh, God, I just got this $500,000 from my dad's estate. Now then, I said, I hate this, but I got to give you $50,000 of that. Hey, you might as well forget it right there. I mean, you know, you ain't going to be blessed. I guarantee you ain't going to be blessed. God loves a cheerful giver. You better say, Lord, I want to thank you that my dad made $500,000. He was a great man in the church, and he tithed, and that's how he built his income. And now he had all he wanted all his life, and he bought all I needed, and now they just left me $500,000. And Lord, I can't wait to get to church or write the check for $50,000. In fact, Lord, just because I love you, I'm going to write it for $60,000. You know, I ain't going to stop at 50. I'm going to write this thing for 60 because I know that this thing works like this and this is how it works. So, Lord, I can't wait to bless you. And so then let's go to Malachi 3, start with verse 7. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? You know, that's where the people in the church are today. People that do not tithe don't think they've ever gone away. They don't have any idea how this principle works. Verse 8, should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. So how much of every dime that do you make automatically belongs to God? The tithe. The tithe is His. It ain't yours. So if you give offerings, that means you give above your 10%. But the 10% should not be a question. According to God's Word. Now, am I reading this out of the Word of God? Amen. This is not me talking. This is Jesus talking. He says here that should people cheat God? Let me tell you what. If I laid my billfold on the cabinet every night when I went to bed, and I was living around where all kinds of people could come into the bathroom or whatever, and every morning I opened my billfold and there was $100 short, you know what I would start doing? I'd find out where that $100 was going, wouldn't you? If I knew I had $300 in there when I went to bed that night, and the next morning I got up, there's only $200 in there, I'd say, okay, tonight I'm going to sleep with one eye open. We'll give somebody anything we got, but I don't like a thief at all. And, of course, God don't like that either. He don't like a thief. So he says, should people cheat God? Yes, you have cheated me, but you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. Verse 9. Now then, if you read that like I read it, that clearly says, because you cheated me or stole from me, you are under a curse. Is that what that says? How many of you want to live under a curse? I don't want to live under that curse. I do not want to live under that curse. Under that curse, there's all kinds of sickness, disease, destruction. Everything known to man is under the curse. That's bad. For your whole nation has been cheating me. You know, as I read this years ago for the first time, I thought, Lord, that's the Baptist church. I was a member of the Baptist church. I said, I see Bob over here, or John Doe or whatever, just fictitious names. I said, you know, I'm here in church every Sunday, and I count these things for the church. Or I was one of about five men doing this. I said, okay, here's old John Doe, and he give $20. I said, I know him. He lives right down the street from me. He lives in a house that I know costs $250,000. I know the payments have got to be $800 or $900 a month, and him and his wife both drive a new Lexus. So I have a problem believing they can live in that house and drive two new Lexuses on $200 a week. To me, this don't make no sense. I mean, do you see where I'm coming from? So, and then, of course, before you know it, one of the cars is out of warranty, and then the transmission blows up on it, and it costs $3,000 to fix the transmission. I thought, isn't that awesome? Now, my little car, I'm tithing, and my little car runs 190,000 miles with no problems. What's the difference? One of us is under a curse, and one of us is under the blessings. Is that right? Yeah, now, and God, if God says if you're under His curse, He said if you don't tithe and give offerings, you are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. What do you think? Well, you think this nation's under a curse from God? Yes. I'm telling you, this nation, we don't tithe. We don't even tithe. The church don't even tithe, much less the whole nation. You know, we are stealing from God on a regular basis, but He don't hold them accountable for their sins, but He holds you accountable. You and me are sons and daughters of God, and He does hold us accountable. Verse 10, let's go ahead here. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Now, let me tell you what, that is the only place I ever found in God's Word where He told me I could put Him to the test. There is not another one in that book, nowhere, at least not that I've found. And I've read the whole book several times. This is the only place God says, test me, try me. If I give you a job that you make $1,000 a week, you give me at least $100 a week and maybe a little extra, and I will show you what I will do for you. Amen. And he'll do it, won't he? Amen. He will bless your socks off. I can remember when I heard this message preached from a Baptist preacher years ago when I was in the Air Force at Perrin Air Force Base, and I was making $40 a week as an airman. And I'm telling you, I couldn't make it from payday to payday. I was always short. And I come to church that morning, and when the offering plate passed, I opened my billfold and took my normal dollar bill out, and I put it in the plate, my dollar. Now, I made 40. How many should I put in there? That's right, I should have put four, but I put one. So when the preacher's preaching, he's preaching a message similar to what I'm preaching today. And he said, you know, there's people that will come to church and enjoy the grace and mercy of God and the salvation of God. And when the offering plate's passed, they'll put a dollar bill in the offering plate. And he did this. And when I looked up, guess where that finger was pointing? Right. And I mean, he probably did it like this, you know, so I'm sure he hit a whole bunch of us. But when I looked up, the finger was pointing straight at me. And I thought, oh my goodness, he saw me put that dollar in the plate. No, he didn't see me put that dollar in the plate, but who did? God saw me put that dollar in the plate. He knew I should have been putting four in there, and he was going to get my attention. I went home that afternoon and told my wife, I said, honey, I don't know how in the world we're going to make it. We ain't making it now. I said, we got $40 a week, and we cannot pay all of our bills. That's why I only put a dollar. But I said, next Sunday, we're going to put $4 in that offering plate. I said, I heard that pastor say, God said, put me to the test. I said, I don't really want to think about me testing God. I'm afraid of him, but I said, I am going to put $4 in that offering plate. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, from the time I started putting $4 in that plate till today, I ain't never been broke. Never again have I ever been broke. I've had enough money to pay my bills forever. Does it work, Scott? You know it works. But all of us know it works, doesn't it, Eric? I mean, just think, if people could understand why they're cursed, and why people can give until they get a large inheritance or something. You know, I've seen this so many times. I've seen people get 200, 300, 400, 500, even a million. I saw a lady that I know, just casual, got $1 million inheritance off of her husband. Her husband got killed in a light airplane crash. He had $1 million life insurance, and she got it all. She didn't give God not one penny of that. And in one year, his best buddy came in, swept his wife off of her feet, and within a year he had stole every penny that woman had. She couldn't even pay her taxes at the next year. And yet a year ago, she had $1 million in the bank. And her best friend, his best friend, come in and got it all. I'm telling you, the woman was under a curse because she didn't put $100,000 of that money in her church. You see what I mean? If she'd have put $100,000, somebody said, $100,000? Yeah, she could have probably invested the other $900,000, and the next year she might have been worth $1.25 million or something. You know that? I guarantee, did God say, if you put me to the test, I will open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing you can't contain? Do we believe him? Yes, I do. I know it works because my wife and I started tithing that $4. And of course, over the years, we give more and more and more and more. And now I look at how God has blessed us. In fact, my wife told me the other day, she says, you know, I said, if you had a lot of money, what would you do with it? She stopped a minute. She said, well, honey, I don't need anything. I got everything I want. Now, how would you like to be a woman that's got everything she wants? Isn't that awesome? She's a blessed woman, but she lives with a husband that tithes, and she tithes. And so we are tithers, and so God has blessed Cheryl and I. And so therefore, I don't know whether he's just taken away our Warner or what he's done, but we don't want anything. We got everything we want. I mean, I'm blessed. The main thing I'm blessed with, Cheryl and I are both healthy. You know, we can both get up and walk and, you know. That's a blessing when both of you get older in your older age, when both of you can still get up and run and play and go do things together. Is that a blessing?
Amen.
Oh my goodness, that is a blessing out of this world. And God promises He will do that. Then verse 11, let's see what He says in verse 11. Your crops will be abundant. Now then, do you notice as you come in here, my little 100 acres of land I've got here, everywhere you look, you see beautiful green grass growing like crazy, do you not? You know, I walked by down here at the end the other day where the kids had planted some tomatoes and squash or whatever, and them things are that tall. They got tomato plants all over them. What did God say? Your crops will be what?
Abundant.
You know, I mean, we got beautiful green grass out there. The horses that we got, the Lord's given us, they're out there just cleaning up on that grass, mowing it down like crazy. They got more than they can eat. For I will guard them from insects and disease. So insects and disease is at the will of God. Is that right?
Yes.
He can either say, clean that up, or withhold. Who is in charge of the insects? God is. He's in charge of everything. For I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Verse 12. Then all nations will call you blessed. I think about that. You know, when I was a young man in the military, when I went to Vietnam, let me tell you what. The people in Vietnam, if you were an American airman, they were petrified of you. They were afraid of you because you're an American. They were scared of you. Isn't that something? But now, every nation on earth was afraid of the United States of America. We were so powerful, they knew we could annihilate them in a heartbeat. We were the only nation on earth that had these mass destruction weapons. We could have destroyed the whole world. And they knew it. And so they were afraid of us. We didn't have the nonsense we've got going on today. Right now, there ain't nobody afraid of us. Everybody's running over us. You know, when we can make a decision to let five of these terrible terrorists out for one deserter, we got a problem. We have a real problem in America. Why is all this stuff happening to us? A curse. That's exactly right. And whose curse is it? God's curse. God is cursing this nation, and He's cursing the people because they will not put Him first. He says, then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Verse 13. You have said terrible things about me, says the Lord. But you say, what do you mean? What have we said against you? Do you think God hears everything we say?
Yes.
Boy, does He ever. Verse 14.
Every thought.
Every thought. That's exactly right. You have said, what's the use of serving God? What have we gained by obeying His commands or by trying to show the Lord of heaven's armies that we are sorry for our sins? So what good does it? It don't do no good. You don't have to confess your sin. You know, I mean, I think about that little girl that came out here that time that was crying because I think it was her fourth child out of wedlock. Third child out of wedlock. I sit and talk with this woman, and she's crying and screaming, why me? Why does CPS take my children away from me? I said, ma'am, let me tell you something. Are you a Christian? She said, well, yes. I said, what kind of church you go to? She said, a Baptist church in Denton. I said, ma'am, I don't know what that preacher's preaching up there, but when you're living with these men and bringing these children into the world and you're doing drugs and all this stuff, I said, that's not Christian. I said, you're not fit to be a mother. That's why they're taking them away from you. She said, well, I went to my pastor and I asked him if it's okay to sleep with these guys, and he said, yes, just repent after I do it. She told me that standing right out there in front. I told her, I said, you got some rotten advice from your pastor. I said, let me tell you, I wouldn't want that pastor to give me any advice for anything. Because I said, if he tells you it's okay to have sex with a man you ain't married to, I said, he's under God's curse. I guarantee that is not according to God's word. So it doesn't do any good, it says, to do these things for the Lord. We're not sorry for our sins. What difference does it make? That's what they're trying to say here. Well, let's see what he says in verse 15. From now on, we will call the arrogant blessed, For those who do evil get rich, and those who dare God to punish them suffer no harm. Now see, it's kind of like that speech I heard Obama make. God didn't reach down from heaven and do what I would have done. Zap. But does that mean he ain't going to do it?
He will.
I guarantee it will happen. Now, when? I don't know. But, you know, God's a whole lot more merciful than me and you. You know, sometimes when people do me wrong, you know, I want to really love them. You know what I mean? I want to grab them by the nape of the neck. And y'all ever wanted to love somebody like that? You know what I mean, right? Have you ever had that feeling? I mean, as a Christian, somebody really gets under your skin, you want to just grab them by the shirt collar and punch them in the nose. But you know you can't do that, right? As a Christian, you have to restrain yourself. Now, every once in a while, does a Christian lose it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do. They lose it. And they really do. But we got to learn that's not what God wants for us. But now, God don't do that. He don't lose it. He will just wait till exactly the right time, and he'll give him all the opportunities in the world to repent. And if he don't, one day, it'll happen. And he'll be judged. And I guarantee he won't like the results. But that's why God tells you and me to let him take care of it. That's his job, not mine. It's not my job to kick him out. It's God's job. And he'll do a good job. But maybe he'll bring him to the knowledge of the truth and he'll get to know Jesus. Verse 16. Let's go to verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. Now that's us. This is us. We're the ones that fear the Lord. We're going to have a little meeting here. And the Lord listened to what they said. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. Now, if we're honoring the name of the Master, and we're saying, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to praise you. And Lord, just in case you forgot, my name is Thurman L. Scrivener. I want you to remember that forever. Don't you want him to remember your name forever? And I want to speak it very clear. I want to say, Lord, I'm Thurman L. Scrivener. I want you to remember me. And I don't care what they say. I don't care how they lie. I'm going to honor you and I'm going to put you first all of my life. Is that the way we should be? Yes, if they want me to do something wicked, I ain't going with them, Lord. If they want to make fun of you, I ain't going with them. They want me to stand up and say it's okay to be a gay and a lesbian. No, I ain't going there with you. It's wrong, totally wrong. But I'm going to leave it to God to judge you. I ain't going to judge you. I'm going to tell you that you can come into this church, you can repent, you can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and I guarantee as long as you're still alive, he'll forgive you. Is that right? He'll forgive you and he'll make you a different person. But, you know, don't continue to do him like these people are doing him, taking him to the end, because one day you will find out what happens here. Let's go to verse 17. They will be my people, says the Lord of heaven's armies. On the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Do you want to be that child? I do. I absolutely want to be that. Does he say there will be a day of judgment? There will be. And he's going to be looking for us, those of us that honored his name and wrote our name down and said, Lord, I want you to remember me. But he says, on the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. That's us. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Verse 18. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as for me and my house, we want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to be a part of that? And you continue to walk holy and obedient to his word and make sure that you're a tither. Make sure you give God 10% of your entry somewhere. It don't make if you go to church somewhere else on Sunday morning, wherever you go to church, wherever you're fed, that's where you should tithe. But God holds every one of us accountable to be tithers. Is that the message that was in this word today?
Amen.
Was this my words or his words?
His words?
It's his words. He's the one that says this. He's the one that judges us. He's the one that blesses us. And I tell you, I love being blessed of God.
Amen.
I love it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this day. Again, I thank you for the beautiful rain you sent, Lord. I thank you for this group of people, Lord, that comes here on a regular basis and they praise you and worship you. I thank the revelation you've given them, those that have received their healing and they're continuing to be healed. I thank you for your mercy and grace as we forgive sins and how that you remit people's sins through us. Lord, I thank you that you've given us that great privilege of John 20:23, that we can remit people's sins because we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. And Lord, I praise you and thank you that you put those things in there and help us to believe all these things. Now, Lord, as we go forth this week, I ask you to put before us people that need to hear these messages so that they can get set free, where they can come to know Jesus. Lord, if it's a lost person, help us to bring them into the knowledge of the kingdom. If it's a Christian that's living a defeated life, help us to retain this information so we can share with them what they need to do so they can be blessed financially and spiritually. Now, Father, I thank you for your word. It's for all of us, and all of us have to obey it. So I thank you and praise you for blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.